listening to a production of the Marlboro Community Players on WMCP. Before we begin, we'd like to ask a small favor. Close your eyes, take a breath, and travel back. Back to a time when there was a radio in your home. Maybe it sat on the kitchen counter, keeping your mother company while she cooked. Maybe it lived in the living room, a big wooden cabinet, warm and glowing, the centerpiece of the room. Or maybe it was a little transistor on a nightstand, whispering you to sleep. Where was yours?
Do you remember gathering around it with your family, waiting for your favorite program to begin? Maybe someone sat in a special chair. Maybe your father lifted you onto his lap to listen to the ball game together. His voice was low as he explained every pitch. Maybe your whole household went quiet at the top of the hour because the story was on. That radio wasn't just furniture, it was the background of your life. It marked the seasons, the World Series in autumn, Christmas programs in December, the soaps that ran like a second heartbeat through every weekday afternoon. Radio asked only one thing of you, listen and imagine. Tonight, that tradition comes back to life. The voices you're about to hear carry that same spirit forward, with a little joy, a little drama, and a whole lot of heart. So settle in, let the room go soft around the edges. The broadcast is about to begin. But first, a word from our sponsors.
I heard so much about Magic Touch, Campana's new cream makeup. Is it really so very different from other makeup?
It's so different that you'll never believe how much prettier it will make you until you try it.
What exactly is Magic Touch?
Magic Touch is a cream complexion makeup that you apply with your fingertips. No powder puff, no water. You can use it anytime, anywhere. And it literally performs magic for your complexion. It gives you that new complexion loveliness that women are demanding today. The unmade-up look.
The unmade-up look?
Oh, Magic Touch provides a feminine, delicate, fragile makeup beauty. The dressed and doll-like complexion that women are seeking.
What does it look like?
Magic Touch is a wafer-thin cream in a beautiful white and gold compact. It offers you six new complexion-flattering shades. All you do is stroke your fingertips across the surface, apply it to your face, and blend.
It sounds simple enough, but does it really blend well?
Magic Touch contains a new magic ingredient that causes it to blend better than any cream makeup yet invented.
Do I use powder too?
Oh no, if you want the new luminous effect. And I don't mean shiny. Yes, if you want to give your complexion a matte finish. Either way, Magic Touch gives you a new, flawless-looking complexion.
Is Magic Touch very expensive?
Surprisingly inexpensive. You get a large-size, classic gold-white compact of Magic Touch for only $1.
I'm going to try it tomorrow, and believe me, you'll never know how pretty you can be until you do.
The year was 1930. A Kansas City film critic named Goodman Ace grabbed his wife Jane, sat her down at a microphone, and the two of them simply started talking. Easy Aces never won its time slot, but its clever, conversational style built a loyal enough audience to keep it on the air for 15 years. The show's secret weapon was Jane, beloved for lines like, "Time wounds all heals," and "Congress is still in season." It was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame in 1990. Tonight, the Marlboro Community Players bring it back. A quiet evening at home, a letter that needs writing, and a husband who really should have kept his mouth shut about split infinitives. Ladies and gentlemen, the Easy Aces. Let's drop in at the home of Mr. and Mrs. Ace, better known as the Easy Aces. Mr. Ace, the patient, long-suffering husband, his wife Jane, with whom he tries to be patient, but winds up suffering, and Jane's school day friend Marge, who lives with the Aces. We find Mr. Ace with his evening paper, Marge with a book, and Jane writing a letter. She seems troubled.
Oh, I'm getting all mixed up. Dear, how do you spell right?
Well, which right do you mean?
Which? How many are there?
Well, there's W-R-I-T-E and R-I-G-H-T. Which do you want?
Either one, just so I spell it right.
Just so you spell it right, huh?
That's funny, isn't it? Just so I spell it right. Did you get that, Marge?
Huh. Sure, I think I did, Jane.
I just got it myself. Well, enough joking. How do you spell it, dear?
Well, how are you using it in the sentence, Jane?
The word ahead of it is last.
Oh, last rites. That's R-I-T-E.
A new one came in.
Jane, what are you saying to your sister about last rites?
Dear Ethel, I'm glad you found time to at last write me.
Oh, that last rite.
That's W-R-I-T-E, and you shouldn't split an infinitive that way.
Who did?
You. To write is an infinitive, and you're splitting it with at last.
I ask him a simple question about spelling, and that's what comes out. Isn't he disgusting, Marge?
Positively revolting. So, what is it that you're writing to Ethel about, Jane?
Thanking her for the book she sent me.
Did you read it?
Well, sort of. In a haphazard way. I skipped.
No, Jane.
I couldn't help it. Right away, I didn't like the lover in the first chapter. He was too swishy-washy. I know you shouldn't judge a book by its lover, but...
Oh, never judge a book by its lover.
They don't write books like they used to. Remember the books we used to read, Marge? Those were love stories. Oh, I always pictured Ronald Coleman when I read a book.
Always?
Yes. That's why I didn't like this one. I couldn't picture Ronald Coleman and the things he keeps saying to the girl. Martha, you asked me a simple question. What about us? And I can only reply with a question. Does anyone matter? Martha, there are moving forces abroad in the world today that will sweep us all into maternity.
Wait, let me read that book. That sounds very interesting.
Oh, it's no good. Maybe the movie will be better. Now, on the other hand, take that record Ethel's husband sent us. Dear Homer, thanks so much for the wonderful record. It's simply beautiful, and we've all had so much pleasure from it. I can't begin to tell you because Bing Crosby is our favorite, and you can imagine how much more we will enjoy it when we get a Victrola and play it.
When we get a Victrola, then we're really going to start enjoying it.
I thought it was very sweet of him to send it.
Jane, this book has a message.
If I want a message, I can call Western Union.
Yeah, outside of the small print, the heavy cover, and the moving forces sweeping everyone into maternity, it's all right?
Outside of that, it's just no good. Well, I better get back to my letter. Dear Ethel, I'm glad you found time to write me at last. I want to thank you for the book you sent me. It was simply lovely, and I don't know when I enjoyed reading anything more.
What? After everything we just went through?
Oh, that's the spirit, Jane.
But between you and I, it's no good.
Jane, between you and me.
Oh, I split another infinity, Marge.
No, that's not a split. Oh, never mind.
Radio's outstanding theater of thrills, tales well calculated to keep you in suspense. From 1940 to 1962, CBS Radio's Suspense held America in its grip. 20 years of mystery, danger, and dread delivered entirely through the human voice and sound. But before we continue our broadcast tonight, we'd like to let you in on a little secret. Every footstep you heard on the radio, every creak, every crack of thunder was made by hand, live, in the studio, by one person standing at a table full of ordinary objects doing extraordinary things. They were called Foley artists, and tonight we have one right here. Let's show you how it's done. Someone is walking toward a door. On a dark and unpleasant evening, they knock. No answer. The door opens. The wind howls. A storm is moving in. More footsteps. There's someone else in the room. Once, twice. Would you answer it? No one there. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how radio made you afraid of the dark. We salute our Foley artist, Tony Nesbitt. And thank you. And now, back to something a little more cheerful.
Who's that little chatterbox? The one with pretty auburn locks. Whom do you see? It's little Orphan Annie.
What's happening these days? Having lots of fun? Well, believe me, Annie's early bird friends who've already sent for their new 1940 model shake-up mug are in for some fun.
That's right. All of Annie's friends who drink sweet chocolate Ovaltine can get one of these swell new shake-up mugs absolutely free. And boy, are they beauties, made of genuine beetleware in a beautiful deep green or bright flashing scarlet, with a big picture of Annie and Sandy right on the front.
And here's the best part. It's a two-in-one gift. Put the top on, and it's a Keen shaker for mixing your ice-cold Ovaltine shake-ups. Take the top off, presto! It turns into a thick drinking mug, ready to enjoy. What fun you'll have playing the shake-up game with friends, having shake-up parties, making a picnic out of every summer meal.
And Mother will be glad to let you fix all the shake-ups you want, because she knows every Ovaltine shake-up is packed with extra vitamins, minerals, and energy. Everything you need to stay healthy and husky.
Here's all you do. Write your name and address on a piece of paper and send it along with the thin metal foil seal from under the lid of any can of sweet chocolate Ovaltine. Mail it to Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois, and she'll send you your new 1940 shake-up mug absolutely free. Regular price, 50 cents. For Annie's friends, free.
Don't put it off. Ask Mother to pick up a can of Ovaltine tonight and send in that seal right away. Mail it to Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois.
What you're about to hear is one of the most notorious 7 minutes in the history of American radio. The date was December 12th, 1937. The guest on NBC's Chase and Sanborn Hour was Mae West. The sketch was perfectly innocent on the page. NBC officials cleared it in rehearsals without concern. But the actual broadcast was another matter entirely, because Mae West didn't just read the script, she performed it. The FCC investigated, reprimanded NBC for indecency, and West was barred from any network programs, including any mention of her name on the air. She didn't appear on radio again until 1950. Tonight, the Marlboro Community Players bring it back. We'll let you decide what all the fuss was about.
Ladies and gentlemen, Adam, Eve, and one very accommodating snake. For us tonight, Mae West forsakes the picture hats of the gay 90s and turns back time all the way back to step into the Garden of Eden and into the character of the most fascinating woman of them all. We find ourselves in the famous Garden of Eden. Under a spreading fig tree rests one Mr. Adam, sprawled out lazily in the hot sun. Eve, obviously, is bored beyond endurance as they play cards with a deck of fig leaves.
Listen, tall, tanned, and tired. Ever since creation, I've done nothing but play double solitaire. It's disgusting. It's got me down.
Well, we've got a nice place here.
That's the trouble. It's too nice. I want something to happen, a little excitement, a little adventure. There's no future under a fig tree.
Why don't you just relax and take it easy?
Because I'm a lady of big ideas.
What kind of ideas?
You've got no idea. Listen, I've got to get a chance to expand my personality.
Well, go on, expand.
I will, out there.
Out there? Outside the Garden of Eden?
Now you're talking.
But we've still got a lease on this place.
You mean to tell me a lease is what's holding me back from developing my personality?
Well, a lease is a lease. Anyway, we've got a nice place here. Temperature perfect, sun always shining, nothing but a heavy dew once in a while.
What are you, the Chamber of Commerce?
Oh, go away, let me sleep.
Adam, you don't know a thing about women.
Oh, you apparently forget. You were originally one of my own ribs.
Yeah, a rib once, and now I'm beefing.
I know everything about women.
That's covering a lot of territory. You think I want to stay in this place all my life?
What do you want? Trouble?
Trouble? If trouble means something that makes your blood run through your veins like seltzer water, Adam, my man, give me trouble.
Well, there is one way to break the lease, but I won't tell you.
Oh, Adam.
What?
Come on over here.
What for? To hold hands?
Oh, that old game. Can't you think of something new? You know nothing about nothing.
I know all about the tree.
What tree?
That apple tree in the middle of the garden. The lease says if we eat the fruit, we get thrown out of here. Only time, and we get dispossessed.
How fascinating, Adam. You can hold my hand now.
No, I think I'll go fishing.
Oh, how disgusting. So it's the tree. Not room enough to squeeze through those slats for a woman of my personality. Now, if only I knew someone skinny enough.
Salutations, Mrs. Eve.
Oh, if it isn't Mr. Snake. Hello, long, dark, and slinky.
Mrs. Eve, why are you standing under that tree?
Stop wiggling and I'll tell you. I've got a little proposition to make.
I certainly refuse to listen. What is it?
Do you think, with the proper provocation, you could squeeze through that fence?
That's the forbidden tree.
Oh, don't be technical. Would you like to have this whole paradise to yourself?
What do I have to do?
Pick me a handful of fruit. Adam and I will eat it, and the Garden of Eden is all yours.
But it's forbidden fruit.
Are you my friend in the grass or a snake in the grass?
I'll do it.
Right through those pickets. Shake your hips. There, you're through. Now get me a big one. I feel like doing a big apple.
Here you are, Mrs. Eve.
Nice going, swivel hips.
Wait, it won't work. Adam will never eat that forbidden apple.
Oh, yes, he will when I'm through with it.
Nonsense.
He will if I feed it to him the way women are going to feed men for the rest of time.
What's that?
Applesauce.
Eve, what are you doing?
Me? Oh, just making a little history. The first woman to make a monkey out of a snake. Now, have a bite of this.
What is it?
A new kind of sauce. Here, I'll have a taste myself, just to prove it's pure. 100% proof. Now, before you eat, are you going to take me out of this place and give me a chance to develop my personality?
Oh, Eve, are you going to stop that again?
No, I'm going to end it. Eat your sauce, big boy, and hold your hat if you've got one.
Oh, say, this is darn good sauce. Where did you... Oh, what happened?
We've been dispossessed.
But why?
Forbidden applesauce.
Oh, Eve, we've lost the Garden of Eden. Eve, it's as if I'm seeing you for the first time. You're beautiful.
And you fascinate me.
Your eyes, your lips, come closer.
You wanna what? That was the original kiss.
And there you have it, the sketch that stopped the nation, scandalized the FCC, and cost Mae West 12 years on the radio. We'd like to think she would have approved of tonight's performance. The Marlboro Community Players thank you for listening, and we hope you'll agree, it was worth the trouble.
We close tonight's broadcast with something very special. The Lux Radio Theater was unique among radio variety programs. It featured well-known stars of stage and screen, recreating their most famous roles for radio audiences. And on Christmas Day, 1950, they pulled off something magical, a radio adaptation of The Wizard of Oz. Judy Garland, by then 28 years old, was the original cast member of the beloved 1939 MGM film to return for the broadcast. It was the only time Garland ever recreated her most famous role. She sang Over the Rainbow live on the air on Christmas morning for the whole country. Tonight, the Marlboro Community Players bring you the final act of that broadcast. Dorothy is trapped in the witch's castle. Her friends are racing to save her. And somewhere in the middle of it all, there's a bucket of water with very big plans. The curtain rises on Act 3 of The Wizard of Oz. If Dorothy is ever to get back home to Kansas...
And if I'm ever to have a brain...
And me a heart.
And me courage.
Then Dorothy must first get the broomstick of the Wicked Witch. But the witch, unfortunately, knows quite a lot herself. Now, in her bleak and dismal castle, she gloats over a newly captured prisoner.
Excuse me for laughing, but it was so easy to capture you, I can't help it.
At least my friends got away. Toto, too.
What do I care about them? It's you I wanted. You and the magic ruby slippers. Now give them to me.
No. The good witch Glinda told me not to.
Fool that I am. The slippers will never come off as long as you're alive.
You mean?
Now, how shall I do it? I think I'll make up a special batch of poison. Yes, some nice, fresh poison.
Look, it's Dorothy's dog, Tin Man. Lion, he's come to lead us to her.
Up there in the castle.
We can't fail her now.
Witch or no witch, I'll tear him apart. I'll knock him cold. I may not come out alive, but I'm going in there.
Oh, Lion, that's wonderful.
There's only one thing I want you fellows to do.
What's that?
Talk me out of it.
Oh, no, you don't. Come what may, we're going to rescue Dorothy. This is the room. Dorothy? Who is it? It's us. We've come to save you. Can you open the door?
I can't. She's locked me in.
Stand back, Dorothy.
I knew it.
We'll have you out of this castle before you can say...
Going so soon?
The witch!
My little party's just about to begin. Guards, seize them! Now, how shall we start the fun? You first, Scarecrow. How about a ball of fire?
No, help! Not fire.
I'll help you. This bucket of water.
No. Water? No. No, put that down. No.
Oh, thank you, Dorothy.
Oh, you cursed brat. You've killed me.
I just meant to help the Scarecrow. I didn't know.
Look, she's melting.
Oh, what a world. What a world! Who would have thought a good little girl like you could destroy my beautiful wickedness? I'm going fast. Oh.
She's dead. You killed the Wicked Witch of the West.
But I didn't mean to. I didn't know that water would...
You don't understand. She's enslaved us all, but now her spell is broken.
All hail Dorothy. The Wicked Witch is dead.
Sing it high, sing it high.
dear listeners, Dorothy finds her way home, and we find our way to the end of tonight's broadcast. Tonight's performers include
Liz Perry,
Don Johnson,
Zara Yolanesian,
Catherine English,
Jack Cunningham,
and Gailwell Purgis Williams. And we would like to give special thanks to our sound effects artist, Tony Nesbitt. And a sincere thanks to our director who guided us on our Radio Days journey, Ryan Malyar. From the Marlboro Community Players, thank you for joining us on WMCP. We hope tonight's journey through the golden age of radio brought back a memory or two, a laugh or two, and maybe, just maybe, the feeling of gathering around a glowing wooden box somewhere back home. Good night, listeners. Good night.